Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavigueto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the first Sunday in Lent, and the readings are from Cycle A.
I suspect most American Christians find it strange that Jesus was tempted. After all, wasn't he God? His temptation certainly couldn't be like mine. And here we betray our heresy. Most Americans don't really believe that Jesus was really a man. Oh, sure, there was a human body. But didn't he have the mind of God? You know, in the Nicene Creed, we use that clunky expression that Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. Well and true. But he's also consubstantial with us, one in being with us. In the Son, two natures are united. Distinction by no means taken away, but rather the property of each preserved in one divine person, the Word. Translation. Jesus had a human mind, a human will, human emotions, and not just a human body. And I find that terribly comforting that Jesus shares my wounded nature, that he understands my weaknesses at the gut level. The letter to the Hebrews urges us, therefore, to have this incredible confidence in Jesus. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence run to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Bottom line, Jesus understands, really understands. But he was also tempted more. Consider today's gospel. I confess, wouldn't it be neat, really wild, to be tempted like Jesus? Just imagine the good you could do, the fun you'd have, the impression you'd make, if you failed and gave in to just one of those temptations. For that matter, why not all three? Triple the pleasure and more than triple the fun. In all three cases, it would mean that you had a power. We're given a power that I know I don't have. Just for example, how many of you can say you've been really tempted to change stone into bread? Anyone? I've certainly made bread into stones. Oh, it'd be wonderful. It'd be great. Never hungry. No need to work. But it wouldn't be just for me. The starving people would have me. A savior. A wave of the hand, and famine disappears in a mountain of French bread. Awesome. Or to consider the second, what a splash I would make jumping off Hoover Tower, or better yet, the Empire State Building, only to be caught at the last minute by angels. The surprised and stunned people below would know there is a God. Imagine the influence I would have. It would be more than Twitter. The adoring would hang on my words and actually make real my words, huh? Or the third one, it's good to be king, but how wild it would be to have all the kingdoms, all the glory. With all that wealth and power, I could supply jobs, 6 California highways, and pay every doctor's bill. Imagine the good I could do and how much fun I'd have doing it. I will never be tempted like Jesus, and neither will you. The closest they came to it was Israel in the desert, and the Rome, an empire in Jesus' day. They thought they were indeed the Son of God. How did Rome control a tempestuous Roman rabble and rule the world? Bread and circuses. They gave out meat and food, have the biggest army and the best military toys, and simply wow them with spectacle. The Romans awed the world with power, might, and glory, and a very, very heavy hand. Rome made itself great. Three temptations, three ways of ruling, and the people would simply rush to give me their very freedom, their identity. We're so much into personal sin that we forget the social. We are so tempted by wealth, fame, and power as Americans that we want to baptize it all. Jesus was being tempted to be the kind of Messiah people wanted. He would make Israel great again. Sound familiar? They are our society's values, and they enslave human hearts. And God will have none of it. Do you really want what Jesus wants? Honestly, do you really want what Jesus wants? Now that's a very different and exciting adventure. A new way of living based not on buying, not on fame, not on wealth, not on power. Do you want to risk living radically? You know, we all have our reasons for not living the Father's self-giving love. We all make excuses to weaken Jesus' words. How often do we really wrestle, even kind of wrestle, look at those hard sayings? He really didn't mean it. It was a different world, or whatever. We want to believe in Jesus, but the world's way of thinking captures us. And we can make excuses for not taking Jesus seriously. A fun book, Tales of the Magical Monastery by Theophane the Monk, cut me and my excuses to the quick. Goes like this. Why not? That was the first thing he said to me. He had never seen me before. I hadn't said a word. He said it again. Why not? And I knew he had me. I brought up my excuses. My wife, the people I have to work with, not enough time. I guess it's my temperament. There was a sword hanging on the wall. He took it and gave it to me. Here, with this sword, you can cut through any barrier. I took it and slipped away without saying a word. Back in my room in the guest house, I sat down and kept looking at that sword. I knew that what he said was true. But the next day I returned his sword. How can I live without my excuses? This line I want to suggest, give up one excuse. One excuse for not taking Jesus in one small way more seriously. Let yourself be tempted to be good and noble. You know, too often we see a better way to act, but take the easy out. Perhaps you want to come clean, but hey, honesty is hard. To forgive, hey, but recrimination rules my heart. Perhaps it was a great party, but you forgot instead of enjoying, you drank yourself into oblivion. Perhaps you wanted to meet this fascinating professor, this wonderful person, but timidity kept you back. Perhaps you were tempted to volunteer, but you didn't want to miss out on what else might suddenly appear. For me, too often, my real tempter is the world's values. Satan was tempting Jesus with the world's ways of thinking. He was tempting Jesus to be the wrong kind of Messiah, the one that enslaves, while Jesus wanted to free us, to love us into a new way of living. So how did Jesus resist these temptations? By keeping his focus on the Father. He decided to entrust himself to the Father's words, which if we had read just a few sentences before today's reading, we'd have heard those words, "You are my beloved in whom I delight." Isn't that you too? Where do you keep your focus? Where do you keep the focus of your heart? So just for practice sake, humor me. Ask yourself, where was God in my day today or maybe yesterday? What glimpse did you catch of him? In nature, the skies, the hail, in someone's smile or friend's affection, in something you learned. Where was God in your day yesterday or today? Think about it a moment. I'm going to give you half a minute. Now ask yourself, how might I better respond tomorrow to a similar moment? Take 30 seconds. How might I better respond tomorrow to a similar moment of invitation? Now you take the risk. Talk to the person next to you. Tell that person where you recently caught a glimpse of God and how might you better respond to him tomorrow. Go ahead, talk to each other. Thank you. The reason I had you do it, it's real simple. You are more likely to respond better to God tomorrow because you shared how you might do it today. Cut through the excuses this Lent, just in one small way. Commit to responding in just one better way to God who is actually in your life. And don't do it alone. Share that moment. Share it with someone else. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Amen. Thank you. The reason I had you do it, it's real simple. You are more likely to respond better to God tomorrow because you shared how you might do it today. Cut through the excuses this Lent, just in one small way. Commit to responding in just one better way to God who is actually in your life. And don't do it alone. Share that moment. Share it with someone else. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.